Morning. Today's daf in Menachos Ayin Gimel. We start with a new parak today. We are the seventh parak of Menachos. And we begin with a Mishnah, which at this point in the Masechta kind of seems pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. But Kedarko, this is the way Mishnayos operate, in that information which once upon a time ago would have been novel to us is not so novel. But again, from a Mishnah standpoint, this is the first time the Mishnah is making these points beferish, to making it explicit. And so we begin. The Mishnah starts off, Eilu menachos nikmasos v'shirayim l'kohanim. So these are the menachos, a list of menachos where kemitzah is done and the shirayim are consumed by the kohanim. Really, the key chiddush of the Mishnah over here is the shirayim. The shirayim are going to be consumed by the kohanim. Kemitzah is done, that the Torah says. Meaning, if we have Torah shebechsav, so the Torah is very clear that the kemitzah is taken off and burnt on the mizbeach. That, in fact, that's the key act of the avoda. That's the mechaper when it comes to mincha. I use the word mechaper, by the way. I'm using it lightly or loosely. In other words, most menachos are not coming formally as a kapara, but nevertheless, though, there are some menachos which are actually coming as a kapara. There's certain minchas chote, which act as behave like a carbon chatas. But for the most part, however, most menachos are not coming for a formal sin per se. And so I'm using the word kapara over here loosely, but still, the idea is still the same. The Torah says very clearly that kemitzah is done. Kohen takes his fist, puts it into the flour, which has already been mixed together with oil, takes a fistful out, and burns that fistful on the top of the mizbech. That's kemitzah, and that's burned on the top of the mizbech. That's really not the main point of the Mishnah. The main point of the Mishnah is the shirayim. Whatever's left over, that's consumed by the kohanim. And which menachos are included in this category of what we would call basically a standard mincha, where the kemitzah is taken off and the shirayim eaten by the kohanim, and the Mishnah here gives us a list of 10. Now, this list of 10 should sound familiar because this is not the second. This is the third time already in this Masechta that we're getting this list. The first five are Mincha Solos Machvas, Marcheshes, Chalos, Urikikim. So the first five are basically your voluntary offerings. Solos are fine flour, Machvas, Marcheshes are two different types of pans. The opinion that we're going to work with, although there's a couple of opinions that we learned earlier in the Masechta. Machvas is a griddle, and Marcheshes is a deep pan. Chalos Rekikin, those are two different types of loaves. Chalos is a loaf that's shaped like a loaf you and I would basically be accustomed to. And Rekikin are more like crackers or wafers. So those are all the voluntary offerings that are mentioned in the beginning of Ayikran Perek Beis. Then, Minchas of the Kochav and Minchas Nashim. Next two categories, a mincha offered by a non-Jew, a mincha offered by women. We're going to talk extensively in today's daf, in the second half of today's daf, about a mincha offered by a non-Jew. Stay tuned for that. Minchas HaOmer, Minchas Chote, the mincha of the Omer and the mincha of a Chote. Now, these are unusual minachos. Well, actually, let me read one more. Minchas Kanos. So numbers 8, 9, and 10 in the Mishnah is that of the Omer, the Chote, and the Kanos. Now, the Omer and the Kanaos, these are unusual, numbers 8 and 10, because they're coming from barley. And this is most unusual, and we're going to make the point later in the Masechta, that these are the only two that come from barley. The other menachos come from wheat. And so these two are going to be following the format of kemitzah, which is burnt on the mizbech, and the shirayim are going to be eaten by the kohanim. Okay. And all these now that we just listed, this listing of 10, so these all fall under the format in which we just described. Kemitzah on the mizbech, shirayim eaten by the kohanim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchas Chote Shekohanim. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, let's say you have the Minchas Chote of a Kohen. So that means that it is a obligatory Mincha that's offered by a Kohen. Now, we know, the Torah says, that if a Mincha is offered by a Kohen himself, meaning if he's the owner and bringer of the Mincha, so there is no Shirayim, but rather the entirety of it is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. What Rabbi Shimon's teaching us is that if the Mincha that's offered by the Kohen is a Minchas Chote, it's a Sinner's Mincha, so then the kemitzah will be done, v'kometz krav l'atzmo v'shirayim krav l'atzmo. And the kometz is offered by itself, and the shirayim are going to be offered on the mizbech in of itself. Meaning, despite the fact that the entire mincha is going to be offered up onto the mizbech, it still is going to be divided between kemitzah and shirayim, despite the fact that both of them are going to be burnt on the mizbech. What would then be the point of dividing them into a kometz shirayim if they're all burnt on the mizbech? Stay tuned. We are going to discuss more of that later in this parak. Before we start with the Gemara, just an observation, which you can actually see. You don't really need me for it. But there are two Rashis, meaning two Rashi. No, there's one Rashi. To be clear, there's one Rashi. But in this Perek, so they are in terms of Masorah, in terms of a tradition, what we received. So we received two versions of Rashi. One is what we would just call, I guess, regular Rashi, meaning just for lack of a better term. And the other one is what's called Rashi Ksav Yad, right? A manuscript of Rashi. So the manuscript of Rashi, obviously, it's not a recent discovery. So, you know, it's an early discovery. And so without making a commitment in terms of which one is Rashi, in other words, and actually written by Rashi, so both of them are brought down in this perek. So you have in this parak, that's why you're going to see a lot of commentaries on the side, because on the inside of the column you have both Rashi's running alongside this parak. So Rashi and Rashi Ksav Yad. I personally do not have Mesora in terms of, and by the way, this isn't just this parak, it's the upcoming parakim as well. I don't have a Mesora in terms of which one is the quote-unquote accepted one, which one is the learned one. I'd like to tell you that I went through both before this morning. That's not wholly true. Which one did I favor? I'm just, again, for lack of Masorah, so I just went through the regular Rashi. But, okay. Anyway, just an interesting observation. Which one has more fidelity towards you know, actually being Rashi's pshat? Again, I asked the question, I don't know. Okay, the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, this is not the first or second time that we're hearing the statement of Rav Papa. It's now the third time. Now, but that makes perfect sense, because the Mishnah gave us this listing of 10 already now three times, and every time that we heard in the Mishnah, so Rav Papa immediately in the Gemara makes a comment. Amar Rav Papa kol hecha denan eser tanan. So you see a listing in our Mishnah, so it's 10. And if you remember the first time this came up in the Masechta, the statement of Rav Papa, so Rashi offered two pshatim. So we're going to favor Rashi's, I'm going on memory, we're going to favor Rashi's first pshat, right? Rashi offers there a second pshat as well, but we're going to favor his first pshat, which is that there are 10 categories of menachos. The second pshat of Rashi back the first time this came up in the Masechta is that there are 10 loaves for each of these menachos. But let's go with the first pshat. These are 10 categories of menachos, and 10 to the exclusion of 11. There are not 11. So, my kamash malan lafugim Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, there were actually going to be 11 categories. Why? Damer mechza chalos and mechza rakikim. So, yavi. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, what you can do in the oven baked category, in the oven baked menachos, is that despite the fact that the Torah gives us rakikim and chalos, and the easiest way to read the psukim is that they are two different types of menachos. Either they're all coming rakikim or they're all coming chalos. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's actually a third option. And that is to create a hybrid, to create an oven-baked mincha, where half of them are going to be rekikim and half of them are going to be chalos. And that would be now an 11th category of menachos if we subscribe to Rabbi Shimon and Kamash Malan Dela. And the idea is that our Mishnah over here caps the category at 10, not 11, to tell us that our Mishnah is not accepting the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Shirayim leKohanim. Okay, and as I pointed out, what's the real chiddush of our Mishnah? Not the kemitza, that's in the Torah, but the shirayim, that there are shirayim, and what is done with the shirayim, and that is that the shirayim are going to be consumed by the kohanim, minalan. And so the Gemara's opening question is, where do we know? Not so much where do we know that there's shirayim. Obviously, if there's a kemitza, there's going to be shirayim. But in other words, the minalan, how do I know? How do I know what's done with the shirayim? And specifically that the kohanim eat it. So the Gemara says, d'ksiva ksiva, d'lo ksiva ksivba. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. The Gemara says, even at this point in time, I think we know, meaning sometimes the Torah explicitly says that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, and even if the Torah doesn't explicitly say it, but we know. Why? Because Vizos Torah Samincha, Akrev Asab, Bnei Aaron, Vanoseres Memenu Yochlu Aaron Avanav. So, the Torah in Parshat Tzav, remember, the Menachos comes up twice in the Torah, once in Vayikra and Perek Beis, and again in Perek Vav and Parshat Tzav. So, and when the Torah reintroduces menachos, in Tzav it's more a question of function, like functionally, procedurally, how do we do it? How do we bring menachos? So, but there, the Torah opens up with the word zos Torah, right? Or zos Torahs. These are the laws. And by the Torah now basically putting them all categorically in the same category, so that basically comes to teach us that they all conform to one uniform rule, which is that the kometz is often the shirayim are eaten by the kohanim. And so, once again, we're back to our question. Why would I have thought differently? Well, you're asking the question, minalan, we know. So, bachitim lo kamibayla ki kamibayla basa orin. So the Gemara says, okay, when it's your standard wheat mincha, which is almost all the menachos are wheat menachos. So the Gemara says, you're right. I didn't need a source. You're absolutely right. However, basa orim nami. So the Gemara says, ki kami balam basa orim. But if it's a barley offering, and there are only two of them, it's the omer and the sota. Those are the only two barley offerings. So there the Gemara wants to know what the source is. The Gemara says, what do you mean what the source? Nami, midin nikmetza shira l'kohanim. So the Gemara says, once the kmitza is done, so the shiram are going to be eaten by the kohanim. Meaning, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that if there's a kmitza, so then that by definition means the shiraim. And if there's shiraim, that by definition means the kohanim eat it. Meaning, what's the alternative? So the Gemara says, to a certain degree, you're right. Ali b'drabban lo kimi b'ilan. So yeah, you're right. If we subscribe to the opinion of the Chachamim, so then you're right. In other words, there's no alternative. The mincha, as a rule, if there's a kmitza, there's shiraim, and shiraim are eaten by the kohanim. I'll tell you where the question comes up. Ki kamei b'ilan ali b'drabbi Shimon. Damar ika mincha demikmitza v'lo misachla. You see, the question now becomes pertinent according to Rabbi Shimon, because remember, Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, the one we started off this morning with. So Rabbi Shimon says that there actually is a model of a mincha where kmitza is done and there's shiraim, and shiraim go up onto the mizbeach. So now for Rabbi Shimon, so now this opens up a Pandora's box. So once we now have a model of a mincha where there is kmitza and shiraim is offered on the mizbeach, so now the question becomes a really wonderful question. So according to Rabbi Shimon, so now what is the arbiter in terms of determining whether the shiraim is offered on the mizbeach or if the shiraim is eaten? So you're right. According to the Chachamim, there's no question. Once the shiraim is eaten by the Kohanim, it's obvious. But for Rabbi Shimon, how do I know? Now the Gemara just refreshes our memory about Rabbi Shimon. Although, quite frankly, if we need a refresher, we need help. Rabbi Shimon just came up in our Mishnah, but anyway, Rabbi Shimon Amar Minchas Chotei Shekohanim Nikmetzes Hakametz Karav Batzman V'Shirayim Kraven Batzman. So Minalan. So basically, now a good part of today's daf is going to be answering a question. But now, as we're asking the question, it's really limited, because the question we're asking now is, how do I know Shirayim is eaten by the Kohanim? But the question is only relevant to Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chachamim, the question doesn't even get off the ground. If there's kmitza, there's Shirayim. And once there's shiraim, it's eaten by kohanim. Because there's no other model of a kmitza shiraim mincha where the shiraim is done, where anything else is done with the shiraim. The question is only for Rabbi Shimon, who says that there is a mincha where shiraim is offered on the mizbeach, and now what becomes the source in terms of determining whether shiraim is going on the mizbeach or eaten by the kohanim. In certain menachos, that would be absolutely correct. That's certainly correct. But at least for Rabbi Shimon, the door is open, in that there is shiraim and it's going to go on the mizbeach. And so, when then is what is going to be the arbiter? What's going to decide whether or not shiraim go on the mizbeach or shiraim are eaten by the kohanim? Amar Chizki Amar Kar. So here we go with a drasha. Chol mincha b'lo b'shemen v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh. So we are in Tzav, we're in Perek Vav, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to follow along the Psukim as the Psukim walk us through the Menachos. So the Vizos Torah Samincha, this is pretty much in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, where the Torah introduces us to a Mincha, Hakrev Osam, I'm in the Psukim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Hakrev Osam, B'nei Aaron, Lifnei Hashem, El Pnei HaMizbeach Ve'erim, Me'emene B'kumso. Just follow me with the psukim. So first, the Torah mentions the kometz, the kmitza, misol semincha u'mishamna, ve'itzkol avana shel amincha ve'iktir mizbeach, reich nichoach azkarasa la'ashem. Kometz is burnt on the mizbeach, super clear. Ve'hanoseres mimeno yochlu aron ovanav matzos te'acha b'makom kadosh. As far as the shiraim are concerned, again, the Torah is super clear. It's eaten by the kohanim. Ve'chatzar o'omo yochlu, it's eaten in the chatzar. It's eaten in the courtyard. Remember, mincha is kodesh kadashim. So it's only eaten in the courtyard. Lo se'afei chametz chal kam nasati osam yishei kodesh kadashim hi kachatas v'cha asham. Can't bake it into chametz. We've discussed this pasuk earlier. And then finally, kol zachar mivnei aron yochlenu chak olam l'dorasechem yishei Hashem kol asher yiga behem yikdash. Anything cooked together with the mincha is going to have the status of the mincha. Anyway, so 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 the Gemara over here is quoting the Pesukim, and the Torah says that anything that is mixed with oil, v'chareva, and anything that's not mixed with oil, meaning there's some menachos, or I should say better, most menachos, have oil with it, some of it don't have oil with it, still. Now the Gemara over here is going to use one of its classic methodologies, which is im'eno. Im'eno is a methodology in which, if the Torah is not teaching us anything here because it's information we already knew, based on other Pesukim, so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to take the Pesuk and we're going to just basically move it over, one. In other words, we're going to move it over to a point which we may not have known. Let me reread the last two lines. Look, as far as wheat menachos are concerned, we know. Kometz is offered on the Mizbeach and Shirayim eaten by the Kohanim. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to take this pasuk and we're going to move it over from wheat over to barley. Meaning the barley that has oil in it, and there's only one barley mincha that has oil with it, that's the Omer, same story. Kometz is offered on the Mizbeach, Shirayim eaten by the Kohanim. And as far as non-oil mincha, so we already know by a wheat non-oil mincha, same story. Kometz on the Mizbeach, Shirayim by the Kohanim. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the pasuk and we're going to move it over to barley. And we're going to say for the non-oil barley mincha, and again, there's only one, that's a sota, so same story. Kometz onto the Mizbeach, Shirayim eaten by the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, V'ayalachi da'asa hamibayle lichid tanya. The Gemara says, wait one second. That pasuk that you just cited, that we wanted a darshan, we already darshan that pasuk. And the basic rule throughout all Shas is that once we have a drasha coming out from a pasuk, so that pasuk now is occupied, and you can't extract another point from that same pasuk. And so what the Gemara is going to do, this will take us a little bit right now, a couple minutes, is that we're basically going to learn out what we already darshan from this pasuk, or from these pesukim. Hami baila lechadetanya minayin shein chokim menachos keneged zvachim. And what we're going to learn together now is a series of limudim where, basically, you're a kohen, you're working in the Beis HaMikdash, you're given a particular carbon, that's it, that's yours. And when we say that's yours, that means you can't look at the carbon that you just received and said, hey, look, it's nice, but I see what he's eating, meaning there's another kohen in the Beis HaMikdash also working. I see what he's eating. How about this, just a simple barter? Nothing complicated. No major transaction over here, right? I happen to be holding a mincha, my auntie's happening to hold a piece of a leg of an animal. I happen to know that he right now, he's a big carb guy. I'm a big protein guy. So why don't we just do this? Why don't we just make an exchange? And what we're going to learn together in the series of various drushes is no. In other words, when you are a kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash and you're given an allocation of carbon, that's yours. Enjoy it. But you can't swap out with any of the other kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And basically, I'm going to say it really succinctly now, nothing. Meaning no swapping. Period. And then, but the Gemara is going to take its time to make this point, as the Gemara is going to entertain various havaminas. But well, that's the basic, that's the bottom line. No bartering. Minayche and chokim menachos keneged zachim. So our first idea that we're going to entertain is a mincha for a zevach, right? Carbs for protein. So tamalamar v'chol mincha asher teafeh betanur l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh ish ke'achiv. So the mincha that is baked in an oven, so that is given to the b'nei aron. So tiyeh, that's yours. Ish ka'achiv. And ish ka'achiv, we're going to darshan a little bit later on. So hold on to those last words of the pasuk. Yachol lo yachlok menachos keneged zvachim. Fine. So good. So a mincha for a zevach that you can't exchange. Shelo kamu tachtem bedalos. Because, and now the Gemara is entertaining. I think I understand, right? It's because, you know, there's no exchange in the Torah. Meaning the Torah never exchanged a mincha for an animal. However, if you don't fully understand that point, you will in just a moment, or hopefully. But you know what? We know that there are certain karbanos in the Torah, right? You'll find them in Perakei and Vayikra, where if a person's poor, he'll bring birds. And if the person's really poor, dale dalos, so you could sub out the birds and replace them with a mincha. So you see in the Torah that you could swap out a mincha for a bird. So now, granted, by the way, that's not talking about bartering. That's just simply talking about if your economic status, if your tax bracket is so low, so you take out the birds and replace it with mincha. But at least you see that mincha and birds are interchangeable. So tamalamar, so therefore I might have thought, since they're interchangeable vis-a-vis various people in various tax brackets, so maybe the Kohanim themselves can do an exchange with a mincha and an oaf, a mincha and a bird. That's right now the Gemara's Havamina. So again, tamalamar v'chol naaseh b'marcheshas. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. And again, we're going to keep pounding this idea of you, Kohen, you know what you just got? That's yours. Meaning, and don't barter and don't swap. So the Gemara says, okay, but at least I think I get it. Right? In other words, I can't swap a bird for a mincha because a bird is a mine damim. In other words, it was an animal, it's a protein. And the mincha is a carb. Okay, fine. So I can't swap those out. Oh, but you know what? I right now am a Kohen who's about to sit down and eat birds in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so in other words, someone just offered a bird. I'm the one who did the avoda. I'm now eating the bird. And the Kohen sitting next to me is sitting down to eat a karban chatos, an animal. And so I happen to know that he likes birds. I happen to know that I like red meat. So why don't we just swap out one with another? And by the way, I keep using a visualization of the Kohen sitting in the Azara. Problematic. In other words, in the Azara, so no, nobody's sitting, presumably. Okay, anyway. So, Tamalamar va'amachvas l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. And again, we're just, each phrase in the Torah, in Parshat Tzav, is just telling us that you, the Kohen, that what you get, that's yours. So again, every time the Torah is saying it now, it's coming to debunk another Havamina that we would have. So over here, I can't even exchange a bird for an animal. Fine, says the Gemara, I get it. You can't swap out a bird for an animal because how is a bird shechted in the Beis HaMikdash through the Kohen's hand? Meaning his fingernails, what is serving as the knife for the bird. And when it comes to an animal, shechita is done with a knife. Okay, so I see, so they're different. So the Gemara says, oh, but in other words, look, if I'm eating one type of mincha and my Kohen sitting next to me in the Beis HaMikdash is having another type of mincha, so let's swap out. I happen not to like the wafers. I don't prefer the wafers. So I'll give you the rekikin, you'll give me the chalos, right? Everything will be good. So the Gemara says, once again, we have another pasuk that says that you, the Kohen, who just received the mincha, that's yours. Same idea. So fine. So the Gemara says, so I think I understand. So I can't swap out a rekikin for a marcheshes. One is flat and a little bit drier, and the other one is spongier and moist. And, you know, elu ve'elu, people like different ones. So we can't swap them out because they're so different. But if I was given a marcheshes mincha and you were given a marcheshes mincha, so maybe we could swap them out. You asked me the question, what would be the benefit if I'm receiving the same thing that I just gave? I don't know. In other words, I don't even know why, you know, what would be the advantage of bartering one marcheshes for another. But in any event, so here we go again, same idea. It's yours, meaning, and you can't barter. So the Gemara says, okay, so we've exhausted every one of the karbanos that fall under the category of kachay kadashim. We talked about an animal chatas, we talked about a bird chatas, we talked about menachos, all of them fall under the category of kachay kadashim. But what about kachim kalim? Maybe a Kohen, when given a portion of kachim kalim, now of every kachim kalim, so a Kohen is given a portion, generally of a standard shlamim, the Kohen is given chaze v'shok, the chest of the animal, and one of the legs of the animal, the thigh of the animal. Those are the portions that go to the Kohen of every shlamim. I might have thought that with a shlamim, the Kohen's ability to barter would be a little bit more relaxed. Now, why would it be that we'd be a little bit more relaxed regarding the shlamim? I would say really simply, I'm offering this as a suggestion, because think about it, shlamim, in general, we're more relaxed with a shlamim. A good portion of the shlamim is eaten by the owners. The area where you eat the shlamim is the entirety of Yerushalayim. Instead of one day, you have 2 days to eat the karban shlamim. So in general, we're more relaxed in the rules of, in the regulations of eating a shlamim. So I therefore might have thought that the Kohanim's ability to barter would, although restricted when it comes to kachay kachim, maybe would be true by shlamim, by kachay kalim. So the Gemara says, Tamalama ishka achiv. So the Torah says, no. I'm sorry, ish ka'achiv v'im al todah. Meaning, if you follow the string of psukim, so you see that immediately after the psukim of Menachos, where the Torah clearly says no bartering, the very next parsha is imal todah. A todah, carbon todah, is a form of ishlamim. So basically, the way Rashi describes it, it's a hekesh. So basically, now we have a hekesh smuchin. I mean, Rashi uses the word hekesh, but in other words, you have two parshios juxtaposed one to another, and so therefore, just like by Menachos, there is no bartering, so too by Toda and all Shlamim, there is no bartering. Now, Ish. Now, I told you, in the end of that pasuk, it says, Ish ke'achiv. And now we're darshaning, Ish, Ish cholek, v'afilu ba'mum. Who gets an allocation of carbon? Every kohen, even a blemished kohen. Right? Interesting halacha, we've said this before, that a kohen ba'mum who can't do the avodah, but still is entitled to an allocation of karbanos and is allowed to eat the karban. Ein katan cholik. However, afilotam. However, a minor does not receive an allocation of minor kohen, and even if he's not blemished, still not fit to do the avoda, and does not receive an allocation. Now, the truth of the matter is, neither is a balmum. But okay, in other words, but the halach is that a balmum does receive a portion, a minor does not. Anyway, that is the end of a really long question mark. Meaning, basically, what the Gemara has now just showed us is that this pasuk, which we thought we could darshan earlier, is unavailable for a drasha because we already darshaned out this pasuk. We have already now learned from this pasuk that you're not allowed to barter one carbon with another carbon, period. If I could say the brisa really succinctly. And we learned it out based on these psukim. Once these psukim now have taught us this halacha, we wanted to use the psukim earlier to teach us a halacha that the shirayim of barley menachos are eaten by the kohanim. But I no longer have the pasuk available, and that creates a problem. Hahu mikol nafka. So the Gemara says, okay, we're learning it out actually not from the pasuk, but from the extra word kol. Kol is a ribui, every mincha. So the Gemara says, "Va'afik lechad Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but the truth of the matter is that earlier in the Masechta, we already darshan this pasuk to teach us a different halacha." So the Gemara says, "Elahu mivikol." So the Gemara says, "You're right, but there's the extra vav that's arriving at this conclusion, and so therefore, basically, it's a ribui, period." Now, period over here, the Gemara Ravina Amar Ravina is going to give us another approach to resolve the same difficulty, meaning. The difficulty here is, or not difficulty, but the question is, how do I know that various shirayim are eaten by the kohanim? And again, remember, if I can go all the way back to the beginning of the Gemara's discussion, for the chachamim, the question doesn't even get off the ground. Because once a mincha has a model of a kometz and shirayim, we know. Kometz goes on the mizbeach, shirayim are eaten by the kohanim. The question over here is only for Rabbi Shimon, where according to Rabbi Shimon, there is a mincha model where Kometz and Shirayim go up onto the Mizbeach, so therefore, how do I know? How do I know that a Mincha and Shirayim of the quote-unquote more obscure Menachos, like the barley Menachos, for example, how do we know that the Shirayim is eaten by the Kohanim? Ravina goes and gives us a different source. Ravina Amar Asya Mididni Levi, so he quotes a Braisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Levi. Didni Levi, L'chol Karbanam, L'chol Mincha, Sam L'chol Chata, Sam L'chol Hashamam, Kol Karbanam. So here, the Torah, when giving us the summary of all the various karbanos that go to the Kohanim, so kol karbanam l'rabos lo k'shem hasham etzara. Meaning we are in right now in Parshas Korach, and this Parsha is detailing all the various karbanos that go to a Kohen, and obviously the kol is a ribui. What is it coming to include? Lo k'shem hasham etzara. The oil of the Mitzara. Remember, we've gone over this numerous times in Zvachim and Menachos, that of a mitzvah, part of his tahara process on day 8 is that there is a log of shemen. Now, some of it's sprinkled and some of it is applied to the mitzvah, but after those applications, after the sprinklings and after the application, what's done with the rest of the oil? Salad dressing. The kohen is going to be sitting in the azara and using the rest of the oil for his personal consumption. I might have thought, well, look, in other words, that's... When is the kohen entitled to eat a karban? Only when some of it goes on the fire. Oddly enough, by the oil of the mitzvah, none of it's going on the fire. And so therefore, at least for a moment, we're entertaining the idea that the kohen should not be eating the shirayim. That's why I need a drasha a special limit to tell me that the Kohen can eat the leftover of the log shemen of the mitzvah. L'chol minchas sam l'rabos minchas omer minchas kenaos. Ah, and this is why we wanted to quote the Braisa. Because the Braisa over here says, l'chol minchas sam, the Kohen can eat every mincha. What does that mean, every mincha? Even the mincha of the omer and the mincha of the sota. Okay, good. So in other words, this is it. This is now the drasha that teaches us that shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, even shirayim of the more uncommon menachos. Now, sakadach amina va'achlo osav asher kupar b'hem amarachmana v'hai lahatir ka'asya v'idach na'im levar ka'asya kamash malan. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara over here points out, why are these menachos oddities? So I said because they're barley, which is true. But the Gemara also points to another aspect of what makes them odd. Generally speaking, a mincha is coming as a kapara. The Torah says, v'achlo osav asher kupar b'hem. Kohanim eat that carbon which is providing a kapara. The omer, the minchas omer, that's not a kapara, that's a matir. That permits us to eat the new grains that grew over last season. The sota mincha, also not a kapara. The purpose of the sota mincha is birur, is to clarify what happened in the room when the man and the woman were together alone in a room. So, therefore, one might have considered that since they do not follow the general principles of a mincha, and that's not providing a kapara. I made this point already earlier this morning, but I'll just reiterate. Menachos in general are not specific, kaparas. Meaning, you don't bring a mincha for any specific type of avera. Again, I'll put in parentheses, except for the special minchas kenaos. Sorry, except for the special minchas chote. Close parentheses. But still, the idea is that a person is bringing a mincha for, I guess you would call it, right, general misbehavior, or maybe even general misconducts, which a mincha is brought for. But the omer and the sota mincha are specifically not for kapara purposes. So I therefore might have thought that the Kohanim don't eat the shirayim. Kamash malan. Okay, we now officially made the point, but we're still in the middle of the braisa, so obviously we're going to finish the braisa. L'chol chatasam l'rabos chatas ha'of. Okay, and l'chol chatasam is coming to include the chatas bird, that the Kohen eats the chatas bird. What's the alternative? Well, the Gemara goes on to explain, sakadach ha'amina nevelahi. The Gemara over here entertains the havamina. It's a really unusual havamina, but I do understand it, meaning, how is a bird prepared in the Beis HaMikdash? By the Kohen taking his nail and putting it through the back of the neck of the bird. And as we've said already numerous times, under normal circumstances, that would render an animal or a bird a nevela, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it's okay. Now, when I say it's okay, you could really understand it one of two ways. Either A, it's just simply not a nevela when done in the Beis HaMikdash this way, or a more radical way to say it is a nevela, but the Torah allows the Kohen to eat it under those circumstances. Okay. In any event, in other words, that's the havamin, and the maskan, of course, is that the Kohen does eat the chatas bird. Okay, kamash malan. L'chol ashamam l'rabos asham nazir v'asham mitzora. So the Gemara says, as far as l'chol ashamam is concerned, that tells me that the Kohen can eat the asham nazir and the asham of the mitzora. Asham mitzora v'hejik stiv bay. Ki chatas ha'ashami l'kohen. The Gemara says, I don't need a drasha for asham mitzora. The Torah goes out of its way to say specifically the Kohen eats the asham mitzora. Ela l'rabos asham nazir ki asham mitzora. Okay, so the way we're reading the Brice is like this. Asham nazir is not explicitly mentioned that the Kohen gets to eat it, and that's why I have a special drasha. So the Gemara says, sakadach amina l'achshir ka'asei. So again, what's the havamina? Well, the Kohen's not going to eat the asham of the nazir? I might have thought that here it's only coming as a hechshir, as an allowance. Now, to be clear, or try to be clearer, I should say, the Nazir is bringing a carbon asham under one of two circumstances. Either one, he has successfully concluded his Nazirus, and he's bringing an asham at the end, or two, is that he becomes Tameh, and in order to restart his Nazirus, he's going to be bringing a carbon asham. In either event, the Gemara is not super clear in terms of which asham Nazir we're talking about, but in either event, the purpose of the asham is not kapara bound, it's not providing a kapara, but rather either to reintroduce himself into quote-unquote normal life, or to be able to restart his nazirus. So the Gemara is just entertaining a havamin. I therefore might have thought the Kohen should not be eating such an asham because it's not a kapara asham, It's more of a machshir asham. Okay. Kamash malan. Asher yashivu, we're still not done. Meaning, we already made the point of the braisa, but as long as we're here, so we're just going to finish off the braisa. Asher yashivu is a gezel hager. What else is a kohen entitled to? Gezel hager. Right, somebody converted. He didn't get married. He didn't have children. And all of his biological family, halachically, is no longer his family. Gershon is Gayer Kakat Nanola Dami. And therefore, this convert has no family, halachically. Somebody steals from him, and then the Ger dies, right? I always think it's just such a terrible story, meaning somebody converts, and then he becomes a victim of theft. Okay, welcome to the Jewish people. So the so he's a victim of theft, and then the ger dies, and now the gazlan wants to return it, but has nobody to return it to. Meaning, generally speaking, if you are you want to return something, and the nigzel is no longer here, so you give it to the family. But he halachically has no family. So what therefore happens to the gzela? It's returned to the kohanim. Meaning, basically, the kohanim, you know, serve as a family surrogate.
Does it fix the
geneva? Yeah, I mean, you know, to the extent in which now you're trying to do tshuva, this is how it's done. Yes. So zegas alger lecha hi ulavanecha shalcha hi ulavanecha filakash bosisha. And as far as ownership is concerned, full ownership. The kohen who has who are given these allocations, these gifts. So he's considered a full owner. And the litmus test, it's always been the consistent litmus test of the Gemara in terms of ownership and determination of ownership is, can the Kohen use it to be Mekadosh a woman? And the Bryce stands off by saying, yes, absolutely yes. I'm going to breathe for just a moment. That's it. Meaning, so now, the question that started off our entire daf today, after we went through the Mishnah and the first point of the Gemara, is how do I know that the Kohanim eat the Shiraim of a Mincha? Standard menachos, the Torah says so. The non-standard menachos, specifically that of the Omer, that of the Sota, how do I know that the Kohanim eat the Shiraim? And basically, to put it easily and succinctly, over the course of the first half of today's daf, there are two sources in the Torah. Either the Vichol, right, that's mentioned in Parshat Tzav, which is serving as a ribui, or it comes out based on drushas, based on Psukim and Parshas Korach. Okay. A nice, easy way to summarize the first half of today's daf. Let's continue. I'm Rav Huna, as we now turn to the Amud Beis. Shalmei Ovdei Kochavim Olos. The Shlamim of a non-Jew is an Ola. I know that's confusing. Right? A non-Jew wants to offer a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and as we've said over numerous times, he can. He absolutely can. In fact, we know that already just based on our Mishnah. Meaning, if you follow the beginning of Shir today, the Mishnah says that a Kohen can bring a Mincha. A non-Jew, right? Let's strike that from the record. A non-Jew can bring a mincha, and so now what we're learning together is that if a non-Jew is going to be bringing a shlamim to the base of mikdash, so the shlamim transfers immediately to a carbon ola, meaning that even if the non-Jew says I want to bring this animal as a carbon shlamim, so basically it immediately just converts into an ola. Now, why? So the Gemara is going to give two answers. So either it's based on a pasuk or it's based on just simple logic. So a really interesting argument of the Gemara, and that is that when it comes to a non-Jew and him being able to offer a karban, so as far as his understanding of how karbanos work, what is a karban? In other words, it is something that I give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sacrifice. In other words, if I'm giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not gonna be eating from it. Now, it's interesting because us Jews, like, we understand not that way. In other words, the Torah gives us a method in which we offer a shlamim, and even though it's a karban, we get to eat some of it. Okay. This idea is just simply foreign to the non-Jew. And so therefore, when he's offering a karban, it's just not within his mindset that a carbon is going to be actually consumed by you and me. That's not a carbon. And so therefore, the svara is that even though he said the word shlamim, what he most probably meant was that it's an ola. Okay, now, if this is a svara, so then I'll ask the question, I don't have an answer. What if he says, look, I know how all this works. I know Ola, I know Shlamim, I know how all this works. I want to give a Shlamim, knowing what a Shlamim is. So if we're working on a Svara, is he able now to override? I don't know. Okay, but anyway. I'm sorry, or it could be a Pasuk. The Pasuk is, Asher Yakriv Hashem La'ola, Kol Demekarve Ola Lehave. In other words, the Torah, which introduces this idea that a non-Jew can offer a karban, so the Torah says, La Hashem La'ola, so it's Exeris HaKasuf, that any time that a non-Jew brings a karban, it's going to immediately become an Ola. Okay. So, what do we have right now? A statement by Rav Huna for the second half of today's daf, and that is that every carbon that's offered by a non-Jew is immediately earmarked and categorized as a carbonola. A number of questions. Meisav Rav Chama Bergur Yovik Ocham Shinisna Devlavi Shlamim Naslan Yisrael Yisrael Ochlan Naslan Kohen Akohen Ochlan. If a non-Jew were to be giving a carbon, so if it's going to be brought by a Jew, now I know that's confusing. I'm going to clarify that point in just a moment. So then it's consumed by the Jew. And if it's going to be given by a Kohen, so it's consumed by the Kohen. So what it sounds like, is that a carbon that's offered by a non-Jew can be actually brought as a Shlamim, which goes against what Rav Huna is saying. Now, Amar Rava Hachi Ka'amar. Now, Rava says, you misunderstood the Brisa altogether. Amenashi's kaper b'hem Yisrael, Yisrael ochlan. Amenashi's kaper b'hem Kohen, Kohen ochlan. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the Brisa. The Brisa is not talking about where the non-Jew himself is offering the carbon. What the non-Jew is doing? Sponsorship. Meaning, he knows that a Jew needs to bring a carbon, and right now the Jew is not in a financial position where he can bring a carbon. And so what the non-Jew says is, look, I'm going to sponsor your carbon. Meaning, it's not my carbon, it's yours. I'll just simply serve as the donor of the carbon. And that's what the Brisa means. Oh, so basically now the Brisa makes a lot more sense. So now, if he's sponsoring a Jew's carbon, meaning Yisrael's carbon, so Yisrael gets to eat it. If he's sponsoring a Kohen's carbon, the Kohen gets to eat it, because basically, it's not the non-Jew's carbon, it's the Jew's carbon. The non-Jew is just simply serving as a donor.
It's a gift.
Yeah, however you want to call it. Meisav Rav Shizbi, Ela Menachos Nekmas Lef Shisharan LeKohan, Minchas Ovdi Kochavim. And now the Gemara asked a question which you knew we all knew was coming. Our Mishnah tells us that one of the 10 types of menachos that are offered is a mincha offered by a non-Jew. Now wait 1 second. Every carbon offered by a non-Jew is an ola. That's how Rav Huna started off the whole discussion. And meanwhile, in our Mishnah, what happens to the mincha of a non-Jew? So the comments is offered onto the mizbech, and what happens with the shirayim? Shirayim is eaten by the Kohanim. That's not an Ola. An Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbech. Okay. Am Rav Yochanan Lokasha HaRebi Yosei Aglili HaRebi Akiva. So the Gemara now is going to argue that this is in fact a Machlokas HaTanayim, whether or not there is such a thing as a Mincha of an Anju, Ditanya. Ish Matam Alami Ish Ish LaRabo Sesov Dikocham Shenodrim Nadarim Nadavus Ki Yisrael. So here in this Brisa, the first opinion of the Brisa clearly states that a non-Jew can offer an offering just like a Jew. Asher yakriv Hashem la'ola, ein li al ola shlamim minayin. How do I know? Not only ola b'shlamim as well, tamalamar nidrehem. Toda minayin. How about a non-Jew offering a toda? Sure, tamalamar nidvosehem. Minayin l'rabos ha'ofos v'hayayin v'alavona v'ha'etzim. What about birds, wine, levona, etzim? So all that can be offered by a non-Jew? Sure, tamalamar nidrehem l'chol nidrehem. Nidvosam l'chol nidvosam. So you have extra coals, which are ribuyim, which according to the first opinion of the Brisa, a non-Jew could offer all this. Imke matam alamar ola, ola prat l'naziris divrei Rav Yosei Aglili. The only thing ola is coming to exclude is that a non-Jew cannot become a nazir. Short of that, a non-Jew, according to Rav Yosei Aglili, can offer every type of carbon. Good. That's exactly the point. So Rav Yosei Aglili obviously is not subscribing to, or I should say better, Rav Yosei Aglili is our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Amir Shir Krivala Shem La'ola In Li Alola Bilvad. And Rabbi Kiva says no. As far as the carbon of a non-Jew is concerned, it is Ola, Ola, and only Ola. V'hai Pratlin is Zeros Me'achan. I'm sorry, period. Okay, so basically what the Gemara now has come out and concluded is that this idea that a non-Jew can only offer an Ola, so that is actually subject to a machlokas atanayim between Rav Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. And when Rav Huna was espousing his viewpoint, he was espousing it according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Mashenkin, our Mishnah that says that a non-Jew can offer a mincha, and that means to say that it's going to operate like a standard mincha where the Kohanim are going to be eating the shirayim. So that is in fact going like Rav Yosi Aglili, not like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.